Hi, my name is Amanda Lang, and today I'm going to be talking about how to create 3D assets for your games. What I'm going to show you today is going to be a very basic overview. It's going to show you a lot of principles that apply no matter what software you happen to be using. And I'm not going to take too long of a time. I just want to show you what it takes to get something from totally empty to having your own custom made by you asset in Unity 3D. I'm going to use three programs for this process. One is, of course, Unity, which is going to be the last thing I do. The first thing I'm going to do is open up Autodesk 3ds Max. Now, 3ds Max is just my personal preference. I'm the most comfortable in this program, and I've used it a lot. A lot of people prefer Blender because it's free, which is the best price for folks. So I totally understand. The interface is just different for Blender, and I'm a little more comfortable in 3ds Max. But all the principles that I'm going to show you are basically the same. A lot of people also use Maya. Maya is a great program if you happen to have access to that. 3ds Max can be a little pricey, but if you have the student version, which I do because I was a teacher and I'm using this to teach you guys, so it's perfectly okay. The student version is actually free for 3 years. You just go onto students.autodesk.com. If you happen to have access to a .edu email address, that is you're a student or you're a teacher, you can get a free version of this program, and that'll save you, especially when you're just learning, and then when you actually get to the point where you have something that you want to sell, you want to just buy the commercial version. Since this is a learning process, we'll just start with the student version, so check that out. It is free for students. There is a 30-day trial for people that don't have access to that. This is just my favorite program to model in, so I'm going to actually get started by creating just a box. And the reason I make a box is because a box is like the most simple unit you can create. Now what we're going to actually make today is a crate. You know the old Man Murray joke of a crate, time to crate in a video game? That's because crates are like one of the simplest, most easy things you can make to get started. And it's like they're so useful in games. You could store stuff in them. You can use them as cover. So a lot of times there's crates in games, but I just want to show you like the process of crate making. I'm just going to use this box tool and draw a really simple box. Now, in Studio Max, if you go over to here where there's a shapes changer, you can make different kinds of shapes. I usually start with standard primitive over here. Box is the most useful because with box, you can make pretty much anything. In fact, most even characters start out as a box, sometimes a cylinder, but a lot of times you just start with a box. It's called box modeling. Now, on this tab, you've got the ability to modify. So I'm going to choose modify. And you can choose, before you do any other modeling, just how complicated this device is. So I set this up to be sure that you can see the lines. You can change, so you can change how you view things in this. So if I want to see like lines, I want to see it realistic, etc. If I want to see the wireframe shows me how it's actually laid out. So that gives me the opportunity to be like, okay, this is exactly how complicated this shape is. So I'm just going to make it a little more complicated, not too complicated. We'll just make it like 3 by 3 by 3. And that means I just have a little bit more to play with if I want to change the shape. Another thing I like to do before I do any modeling to it is just center it up a little bit. So if you look down at the very bottom here, you've got the ability to just zero out this stuff and zero out. Now, I would focus a little bit on the scale as well, just to see like, oh, how big is this compared to my game world? Right now, I'm just going to not worry about it too much because it just like it doesn't matter too much for the first object that I put in the game. But when you get your game level laid out, you want to keep track of how big scale things are. The easiest way to do that is to just go up under your customize unit setup, and that way you can choose exactly what units things are. You can choose like metric meters, for example. It'll tell you a meter is a unit, which is a useful one to use. So this is my crate. If you want to see an example of how it might look in the game, I can always hit this little teapot. That's the render button, and it'll just show me like, oh, this is sort of what it looks like right now. It going into the realistic view kind of shows me what it looks like as well. The render thing could be a little more accurate, but it depends on what renderer you use. Sometimes I just hit this button if it's a simple enough object just to get a sort of preview of what I think it might look like when it's done. So here in these windows, you can see the wireframes, and here you can see the realistic thing. So I kind of like that combination of views. You can also set it to have lines on there if you want. I usually do my modeling from the left and top and front windows as opposed to like from the perspective window. I just sort of use this to check my progress. And the reason is because I want to be sure that sometimes the perspective window can sort of mess with your head a little bit and make you think something is different from how it is. And you don't really want to rely on this too much for moving stuff around because you don't exactly know where you're moving things. Over here, you can use these windows and they're much more accurate. The first thing I'm going to do, and there's a number of ways to do this, and you get used to keyboard shortcuts, but just to show you, I'm going to convert this. That was a right click, and I'm going to convert it to editable poly. And when I convert something to editable, that means I can now change the layout and the way these squares here are organized. And this gives me a little stack to play with that I can add modifiers and make adjustments. It's really fun, and it gets a little complicated, but I'm just going to do simple stuff. The simple stuff is go in here, and you've got these pixels. They're actually called vertices. And you can select a vertex. That's the singular of vertices, in case anybody ever asks. You can select a vertex by clicking on this vertex button. And then you can choose with dragging. I like to drag and grab a bunch, or you can just grab one at a time. But if you do that, be sure that you're grabbing on both sides, because a lot of times what you'll do is you'll accidentally not grab on the opposite side like this. So if I just click on this one, I don't get the opposite side one, which is why I usually do a little box so that I grab evenly on both sides. Just a little, see how you can see I grabbed two red vertices here. If I just click, I'm probably only going to get vertices on one side, vertex on one side. Yeah, I even make that mistake sometimes. So you want to be sure you grab kind of with a drag if you want to grab the entire row like that. And then you can pull them around. You can make them. What I want to do is just sort of make kind of a rounded off edge just to show you a way to do it. You don't have to do this for your first grade, but you've got some tools up here. You can select and move, you can rotate, and you can scale. Uniform scale can be nice for just sort of rounding off a box edge like this. If you want to have like a space crate that's made of metal and you want to round off the edge, you see that I'm just manipulating these, moving them around a little bit. You can make any adjustments that you want. So you could do it like this. You can be sure that it's symmetrical. There's actually a symmetry modifier. See, right now, this isn't quite symmetrical. But if you have a situation where you're like, I'm really upset this isn't 100% symmetrical, this menu has a thing called symmetry, and it'll automatically make both sides symmetrical, which is really handy, especially for characters, because you may model like an entire arm and everything. And then when you're done with the part that has to be symmetrical, like if your dude has an eye patch or something, you just model on top. You basically just keep modeling on top of what you already have. I just like to drop edit poly back on top. So see how you get this stack of things you can work with. This is a Studio Max thing. This is why I think it's really fun to use. And then I can, you know, if I wanted to have an asymmetrical part on my crate, I could. That just sort of gives you the basics of how you do that. So if I go back to where I was before, I deleted the whole crate. Well, that's okay. I'll start over. So I'm going to start from scratch and make a new crate. I'm going to try to make this more of a classic wooden style crate. So once again, I'm going to draw the box. It's a regular old box. Now, if I'm not happy with the way that it's sized and I want to be sure it's symmetrical, I can actually come in here and say, okay, my box needs to be 1 meter by 1 meter by 1 meter. And now I'm 100% sure it's perfectly square and I know what size it is too. And the next thing I want to be sure to do, I'm going to choose this move up here and just be sure it's also zeroed, which means it's going to be on the center. So it's going to be right in the middle. It's going to be set up like this. And then I'm going to do what I did before and make it editable like that. Now to make my classic crate, I actually want to have a couple more cuts in here. So I could either go back and modify this to have additional cuts, or I'll just show you how to cut using some of the other tools that are in here. So you've got the ability to select the faces or polygons on this. And when you select the polygons, you can grab the individual squares here and you can mess with them and change them as much as you like. So I like to use the slice plane to make cuts. It's like a nice little scissor. Now, if you select the angle snap toggle when you rotate this thing, that means you can snap it and make sure that it's 90 degrees straight up and down, which is a useful thing to do. And then I'm just going to show you how to make a couple of cuts by clicking slice. I don't have to go through the whole process, but you can see this slice. And then rotate it and make cuts at the top. And what this is going to do, why I'm doing this, is it's going to make it so that I can make a little indent in the front of my crate. If I don't have enough cuts, that won't look good. So that gives me enough cuts going that way so I can make a little indent. And another way to select what you want to edit is to unfold this little arrow here and select vertex, and that'll put me right on this vertex button. And then I'm just going to move some pieces around to create the shape that I want. So I'm going to grab this, move it to the edge a little bit, move this to the edge. And don't worry if it's not symmetrical, because again, we can make it symmetrical later. Right now, I just want to grab these guys and pull them to the edge a little. There's a number of ways of doing this, so once you get used to this program, there's a whole lot of things that you can do. I think I'm making the most simple object you can make, just to demonstrate. And if I grab this little guy in the middle here, I can just take it, and I want to sink it back in just a touch. I can use scale for that, and I want to just make it smaller. Get in a little bit, and it's going to give me like an indent. The crate, and if I want, I can pull this out a little, make it that. And I know it's hard to see, so you can see it here on the side, or if I go into render, you can see that it's got this little indent. It's not perfect, but it's just a little demo of how you can move stuff around. And what I would really want to do is make sure that some of the stuff wasn't so soft, because it's kind of right now doesn't feel like a wooden crate. It feels too soft. So I would play with that a little bit. Now you've got the ability to change how soft things are. They call that smoothing groups. And right now all the stuff is smooth. So if I actually turn this off, you're gonna see more harsh. See, these are all smooth, so they're lit up. So now if I click on that now, it's not smooth, which is kind of what I want because it's a wooden crate. Now you're gonna see it's not smooth, so it's nice and harsh, and that's kind of a better like look for a wooden crate, I think. It doesn't look as soft. So I'm going to go with that for right now. It's not perfect, but I'm just going to go with that and have that be my crate. Now the next thing that I'm going to do is save my file, because you don't want to lose your work so far. So I'll just call that crate. Oops. Called create. Call it crate. And the next thing I'm going to do is look at adding a texture to my crate, because it just looks like a boring box. So you want to add some kind of texture to it, some kind of wooden texture, some kind of metal texture, whatever your crate is made out of, that's what you want to do. So we're going to add a different modifier to it. This is the crucial thing, which is the UVW map. And the UVW map is going to try to choose whatever fits the shape of your object. But our object is a box, and it's pretty reliably a box. So if I choose box, it's going to do a pretty good job of choosing. So what the UVW map does is, if you think about an object that is three-dimensional, and you want to put a two-dimensional texture on it. So think about when you're wrapping a present for Christmas or somebody's birthday. You want to take a piece of paper and fold it so it wraps around the object. And that's exactly what we're doing here. The crate has six sides, and we have to create a piece of paper or a texture that has all the sides of the crate on it and then wrap that around the object, because it has to be flat when we draw the picture, and then it's going to wrap around in the digital environment. So the UVW map is basically telling this where to wrap the object. And if you want to see how this looks, you choose the UVW unwrap, which is here, and you can click on this view to see exactly what your unwrap currently looks like. That's called the UV editor. So if I open up the UV editor, you can see right now, this is the wireframe of my crate, and it can be a little hard to see because of the way that it chooses colors, but this is the wireframe of my crate. This is the lines that exist on it, and this is how right now it's gonna wrap a texture. So right now, it's gonna wrap the same texture on every side of the crate, which I might want, which might be fine, and that saves me some work, or I might want different textures on the different sides. So if I choose a front side, and just to demonstrate, I'm gonna choose, say, one of these sides here, and see how it grabs the square? I can actually move that around and adjust it so that when I'm just texturing the crate, it's going to be different on all the sides. So if I grab like an entire face, I'll just do it kind of slowly, so again, so you can see what I'm doing. I'm going to grab this entire face of it here, grab all of this, and grab that one at the top, make sure I have the whole thing. I can actually pull that away, and that's one side of the crate. So I could paint something different on this side. Now, everything you paint has to fit inside this square box, but I have all this area to play with so I can kind of assemble it like a puzzle before I'm done actually assembling the crate texture. So what I'm gonna do is sort of put all the sides of it next to each other and make it assembled out like a puzzle. And it's just going to take me a couple of minutes, so I flash forward a little bit on your recording just to avoid taking a lot of time. But you see here I grab all these pieces. And pull them aside. All right, so now I have assembled all the pieces of my UV map together, and you can see that it's more arranged on the platform in smaller parts. Now you might be thinking, hey, you said a crate, it's got six sides, but I only see four squares here. And that's because if you want, you can lay the same parts of things on top of each other to save yourself some room. And in this case, I know that the crate's bottom isn't going to be seen very often, so I just put the bottom and top together, lay them on top of each other. That's just easy. And then this is just the two sides that I indented. I'll make them the exact same shape. That'll save me some effort as well. It just gives me a little bit of a place to play where I know this is going to be the same texture on both sides. I'm always proud of myself when I use the space very efficiently. Try to fit as much as you can onto the space because you've only got so much room to work. And when you're working with something more complicated, like a character, that can be tricky and you may have some white space. But you just use it as efficiently as you can and you kind of assemble it like a little puzzle. And that's one of those things that I find weirdly fun and satisfying, even though nobody except other game developers is going to see that part of my work. I just think it's fun. Now you can save your UV layout if you think you're going to reuse this UV layout. Like say you have more than one object that's going to be very similar. But it's usually is not something you don't have to worry about. So usually you're just fine. So we'll just save the file. And then what we're going to do, I'm going to open that editor one more time. What we're going to do is we're going to actually use this as a template to paint the texture in Photoshop. So you can render this out as a picture. And go to render UVW template. Sorry, I had to find it for a second. And click on that, and it's going to render the template as a map that's going to show you what your texture is going to look like in wireframe mode. I'm just going to click on save this image, and I'm going to use this image to create my texture. So we'll just call this UV template 1. Now, one of the things that you do when you're making a texture in like a professional model is you want to put a texture on it already just to see, give you an idea of how your texture is mapping. I'll show you an example of that in just a second. We'll go back into the Studio Max and I'll show you a quick example. A thing that a lot of people do is they'll just put like a checker box on this. So this is the material editor. It looks a little bit complicated, but it's not too bad. It's one of those things you get used to. So I'm going to get out of my render UVs here. Go into my material editor. So what you can do is just use a checker material. I'm going to drag this checker in there. Usually times it doesn't tile enough. So if I tile this like three times, you can see I get a nice little checker. And then every part of material, and you'll see the same thing when you go into Unity. You have the texture itself, and then you have the material it's put on. So if I take a standard material, attach this to diffuse color for right now, and then I'm going to choose this and assign that material to the selection. It's going to be on my square. Now, you don't see it yet. There's a little button up here, show material in viewport, that's going to show what it looks like on the object, or I can click on this guy. It's going to show what it looks like. So this shows me how this material is actually mapping, which it basically uses my UVs to determine, does this look right? Oh yeah, it looks all right. It looks like it's square. But a lot of times if you have a more complicated thing, you may have some weird stretching on your material. So it's worth it to go back and be like, okay, is there any weird stretching happening? Are any of these squares actually round because it's distorted? And this actually looks pretty good. So I think I'm good with this. So, but you can use that checker. It's a pretty common thing that people use to see how things are lining up. And there's even more complicated versions of the checker where they have numbers and letters on the checker boxes so you can see which one is not looking right. So that's a useful thing to have. So I'm going to join you now in Photoshop. I'm going to take that file that I just made and I'm going to use that as the thing for my next demo. Okay, so now I'm in Adobe Photoshop and I have opened the UV template file that I just created, which is a PNG file. And it's really, really hard to see. So that's going to be the first thing we're going to fix. We're going to add a new layer to this and put it underneath. And then just dump a color so I can see what's going on with this file. It should just be the bright green lines, even white lines, you can kind of see them. I save it as a ping so that it's transparent. If you save it as a JPEG, you can use layer effects and still have the same ability to use it transparently. Doesn't really matter because you're not going to be using this file for anything except as a template. So after you use it, you delete it. So I'm going to choose a brown color. Let's just pick like a medium brown here. And dump that back. And now you can see that I've got my crate lines from 3D Studio Max here in the Adobe Photoshop interface. So I'm not going to mess with this layer at all. I'm just going to use that as my, this is how it's going to look when you actually put it on the object. And now I can do whatever I want with the color. Obviously, I'm not going to be super happy with just boring brown, so I'm probably going to mix it up a little bit, add some stuff to it. There's a couple ways you can do this. Sometimes I just like to freehand like a wood texture. Other times you can go online and find a picture. There's a CG Textures website where you can find lots of good textures. You can modify them and use them as much as you want. The cool, most special, cool, neat thing to do is take a photograph of your very own, because then if you take your own photograph, you know that that texture is totally yours and has never been used in a game before. It's not just some photograph you found online. But there are photographs you can find online if you want the shortcut, or you can draw your own texture either way. So if I get a photograph of wood, I can lay it down behind here. Studio Max actually comes with some photographs that you can use if you want to use those photographs to get started. That's totally fine too. Or I can just sort of freehand a wood texture on here. So I'll use a combination of those approaches. So I'm going to start with just doing a filter. I'm going to choose a slightly darker color and do a quick render. This fibers is cool because it gives you this kind of wood texture feeling. And then if I go use this darker color and overlay it over a slightly lighter color, I can get like a more of a streaky wood sort of feel. So you've got these two different layers, you've got this layer. If you set this layer mode to multiply, it'll use like a darkness blend with the layer underneath it. It's a really cool trick. And if you want this to feel a little bit more strongly streaky, I do like a motion blur. It doesn't necessarily have to be blur, I just do motion blur. It's gonna sort of do it up and down. It's gonna smooth those out just a little bit. There's lots of different ways you can create like a faux wood grain in almost no time. And it gives you that texture feeling. Go in here, you can see I've got sort of a wood-like feeling. I could keep playing with it. I could add more noise and stuff. Another thing that's fun to do is go into your distort. You've got some ripples and stuff like that. If you go into, where's that one? If you go into, oh, here it is, liquify. And choose the liquify filter. You've got this thing you can do here. You can make knots in your wood by just choosing some of these different, like the puckers and bloats, and you can swirl and turn stuff, so you can make little adjustments to that. You can sort of make it look a little more warped, float things out. They use this filter a lot for like supermodels, and they need to make their elbows smaller or whatever kind of weird stuff. But if you want to create like little knots in your wood, this is a quick way of doing it, and you've even got the ability to like warp stuff from side to side. And you can click OK. That's going to make things a little bit more wobbly feeling, so it's not just straight up and down. It kind of gives you like a good wood grain feel. So that's a cool thing to do. You've got the corrections you can do, etc. So I'm going to save this file. And see these lines that show you exactly how it's going to lay up? One of the things you might want to do is add some fake shadows. A lot of times people will color in. So for example, this part is going to be facing up or facing down. I'm going to color in this part here to be a little bit lighter, and then I'm going to color in other parts to be darker. I always use layers because layers are, in case you make a mistake, you can just easily delete the layer versus like, oh, I made a mistake on my primary layer and now I can't do anything about it. So this is going to look really sloppy, but I'll show you how you can make it not look sloppy at all. So if you just click on that, I'm like, oh, that looks really sloppy. But if you have like a Wacom tablet, and of course it won't, but if you choose something like a screen and then lower the opacity, it's going to be like a little highlight. You don't want it to be like super bright. And then you can just go in and clean it up using these lines as your guide. Now the way to really clean stuff up in Photoshop, if you're advanced, is to use masking. I'm just going to use these lines as my guide to sort of clean up these little corners here. And I probably actually want this to go all the way to the edge. Notice that this is still that layer effect. So that layer effect is going to take effect no matter what part of it I'm on. So I don't have to change my brush from just pure white. Always try to think about what colors are going to fit in your game ass style and level, your game asset style and level. So if you've got like a level, that's really cool. All right, and then if I do the same thing as a shadow on the top, I'm going to choose like a slightly darker brown. Again, it's going to look weird at first. I'm just going to make a big chunky brown blob on the top here. What this is going to do is make a big shadow, and then I can just clean it up. So we'll choose multiply. Multiply always makes things darker, so see how it got dark? And then delete that. So a little shortcut in Photoshop is multiply makes things darker, screen makes things lighter. There's more to it than that, but that's sort of like a quickie way of thinking about them. And then you've got a shadow on top and you've got the highlight on the bottom. It's going to add a little bit of contrast to your thing. Now, the last thing you want to do is kill out your template layer because you don't want that actually showing up on your crate. It's not perfect, but again, we'll save it. So we're going to use this to be our UVW. We're going to call this the actual image. We're going to call this crate texture. JPEG is fine for this case. Normally you don't want to avoid too much compression, but this is going to be a small file, so that works for. It's actually a really big file for a crate texture because its image size is 1024, which is really big. I may even want to make it smaller because it's just a crate in my environment, and you always got to think like how important is the object in your environment. But when you resize this stuff, you want to think in terms of powers of two. So if I go to 512, which is half the size, that's going to be a little smaller for a low-end game like a mobile game. You'd be better off with that. Just because when you're doing these, you want to think about powers of two because game engines usually only want things to be powers of two. This is just a common thing in games. Some game engines are not as picky, but I always still think in the way of powers of two. So I'm going to save that texture there. Now, if I go back into Studio Max real quick, see, I've still got my file open here. And remember how I opened up this material editor? So right now I have a checker map, but if I choose a bitmap, I can actually pick the file that I just created. It's actually on my data desk here. The texture. Choose that texture, and then pluck that off and put that on. And it's going to show me the texture on the object. So we are almost done with this process, and you can see my little shadow shows up. My highlight's not quite showing up, so I probably messed with it a little bit. I think the UV template is a little off there. But the way that this is right now, if I go into the UV editor, I see that this isn't quite lined up. I can tweak it. Oh yeah, see somehow that ended up on the side. So always view your texture to be sure that it's working. This is actually a good learning moment. Say, hey, this texture's not working the way I anticipated, maybe because this isn't in the right place. Now if I move that down to where it should go and look at it again, I'll use a teapot. Now you can see, oops, I'll save that. Now you can see my highlight is showing up properly. So I just wanted to view it real quick to be sure that my layout looked good. Now I've got the things exactly where I want. I got my little shadow, I got my little highlight, and I got my sort of wood texture. Now would I go back and paint this and make it more complicated? Yeah, because the texture is a really important part of how assets look in your game. And if you look really closely at assets in real games, you're going to see some amazing painting work happening there. So I'm going to save this again, just for sake of saving it. And then there's only one more step to get this in Unity. So we didn't spend a lot of time in Unity, but this part is going to be so easy. You just go ahead to export. You don't even have to do this part, actually. You can just save it as a Max file. I just like to do it this way. So you see, I've already got a few different exports here that I've done before. And you can export it as FBX. You can export it as an OBJ if you want. Those are formats that are pretty common in games. We will stick with the FBX today. You do not have to necessarily export. You can just load .max files in as well. They made it really easy. So I'm just going to call this crate. There's a whole lot going on here. If you have a smoothing on there, you want to export that. I actually don't have any smoothing, so I'm going to turn that off. I'll leave this as it is, even though I didn't turn those on. And most of this you could usually not bother, but sometimes like you'll have cameras or lights and you want to be sure that you either are or are not exporting those things because you just want to include the things that you want to show up and not the things that you don't want to show up. And it seems like there was no errors, so I will see you in a few minutes in Unity and we'll finish the process. So now we are in Unity, and this is going to be the easiest part of the entire demonstration. All you have to do when you create a new Unity project, so similar way you create a new Unity project, the same way, it's going to automatically create this assets folder in your project. So navigate to wherever your Unity projects live. Put that file that you just exported, which is that FBX file that you exported, right in this folder for assets, and it's already going to know, okay, this is the game asset. This is the thing you made. I also put the texture file in there as well. Make sure that I have a copy of that texture file so it knows where it is. When you export, it looks for existing material name and tries to find it. So it will create materials for you, and it actually already created that material and it's using that texture. So that's all you have to do. You drag into that folder and Unity will do most of the work for you. If you drag this into the game, you're going to see that that is my crate, all ready to go and be used in a game. Now, if you want to interact with this, you can add code to it. One thing that I like to do is to go ahead and add collision. So I'm going to go into physics and just go to box collider. And since it's already a box shape, it's going to fit this green box that uses for the collision all the way around and make it map really nicely. And now, like if I have a character, when they walk up against that, they're going to collide just like you would expect. They're not going to be able to phase through the crate. So that's all there was to that. So now you've got a little basic object in your game. Very simple to do, and that way, when you get started making your own games, you can make the most interesting stuff and make your game look like nobody else's, just with your own personal items. Hope you found this useful. We're going to keep having great tips and tricks for you on the Game Dev Show, so I hope you keep watching. If you have any questions for me, I'm Amanda. My Twitter is Second Truth. I'm going to put it at the bottom to make sure that you can get in touch with me, so feel free to hit me up if you have any questions. Keep watching the show. Thank you so much. Have a good one.